Swami Niranjananda in the service of Sri Bhagavan by Srimati Mangalam Kalyanam. Sri Ramana Maharishi's younger brother Nagasundaram came to stay permanently with his sage brother at Arunachala in 1917 at the age of 32. He had lost his wife after the birth of their child Venkatraman, and leaving his child in the loving care of his sister Alamelu, he formally took sannyasa in 1918, taking the name Niranjananda. Also known as Chinnaswami, with his administrative adeptness and insights and fully supported by the grace of Sri Bhagavan, he admirably managed the ashram as the Sarvadhikari from October 1931 until his absorption in 1953. In this excerpt from the book In the Service of Sri Bhagavan, written by his granddaughter Srimati Mangalam, we see the love that this great Karma Yogi had for Sri Bhagavan and how he laid the groundwork to ensure that Ramanashramam remains a center for devotees for centuries to come. From the daily supervision of ashram activities to the ashram book depot, to the construction and consecration of Mother's Temple, Chinnaswami's complete surrender to Sri Bhagavan was evident in every facet of his inspiring life. In 1920s, the work of Bhagavan, such as Arunachala Shruti Panchakam, Appalapattu, prose translation of Adi Shankara's Viveka Chudamani, etc., were published by various devotees such as HMR, Narayana Reddy, and Annadurai, and were sold in the northeast corner mandabam of the Arunachaleshwara Temple under the seal of Ramaniya Vani Pustakalayam. When Chinnaswami took charge of the ashram administration, Sri Ramanashram Book Depot started functioning in the building next to the ashram office. Ashram publications in various languages were available there for devotees. Chinnaswami fondly kept with him three Tamil books and would read them off and on. They were Ramana Vijayam, Nool Tirattu, the collected works of Sri Ramana Maharishi, and Naan Yaar, Who Am I? He advised devotees to read these three books. He knew by heart Bhagavan's poems and songs and his teachings with meaning and would recite them regularly. He had a small notebook in which he had written all the poetical works of Bhagavan and was using it his daily recital. In it, he had also noted some other details such as his father's death anniversary, etc., and the same is preserved in the ashram archives now. He was a living example of Karma Yoga. He said that Bhagavan was like fire and advised people who came to the ashram to remember that Bhagavan was no ordinary person, that he was Shiva and people should be mindful when they approached him. He would add, "We are all one family and we all have one God." Regarding people who wander in search of a guru, he would say, "In order to see the sun, does one need a lamp? Indeed, is not Bhagavan the spiritual sun, brighter than a thousand suns?" In 1948, the construction of the Matrubhuteshwara Temple was completed after 10 years of meticulous hard work by everyone concerned, especially Chinnaswami, with Bhagavan's blessings. Chinnaswami went to Madras with Bhagavan's consent to organize the ingredients necessary for the Kumbhabhishekam, consecration of the temple. He stayed at Jaidev Lal Dev's house for 22 days. He personally invited many people to the event. It was the crowning glory of Chinnaswami's work for the ashram.
It required great strength of mind and courage to weather many a storm of difficulties, criticism, and obstacles and bring the sacred task to a successful completion. The Kumbhabhishekam ceremony took many months of preparation, and Chinnaswamy consulted many knowledgeable well-wishers to ensure that the entire ceremony was in strict accord with Vedic injunctions. The Kumbhabhishekam ceremony began on the 13th and concluded on the 17th of March 1949. There were 4 full days of Vedic chanting with numerous homams on the 13th, with 100 of Vedic scholars and pandits participating. The rituals were completed on the 17th of March. Sri Bharati Krishna Tirtha, the Shankaracharya Swamiji of Puri Math, arrived to attend to the details of Kumbhabhishekam rituals as he had indicated during his earlier visit. Some 10,000 meals were served. People were astounded at the magnitude of the celebrations. Bhagavan himself supervised this seva. A great many cooks and helpers and the service of police were also enlisted, and firefighters were asked to stand by in readiness to see that such a largely attended event went smoothly. On the first day, Bhagavan came along with the Purna Kalasam to the new hall and then went straight to the mother's temple. He touched all the sacred items and consecrated to the temple, and then came to the new hall where he sat on the new granite sofa that had been prepared for him. Chinnaswamy was garlanded in honor of his efficient, impeccable organization of the Kumbhabhishekam. A great devotee of Bhagavan, Nellur Sambasivaya Rao, wanted to do Pada Puja to Chinnaswamy and took Bhagavan's concern. After Bhagavan sat on the granite sofa, Chinnaswamy was brought in and made to sit in an appropriate place. Chinnaswamy started to tremble and he said, "You people think you can trick me. No way. I will not accept Pada Puja. It is only for those who have no Dehatma Bhava. I am the body sense. I don't deserve Pada Puja." He then got off the stage and walked away. People tried to force him to stay, and he eventually relented by saying, "Bhagavan's silver footwear donated by a devotee is kept near the lingam. Go and bring them and do puja to them." The symbolic silver-plated wooden footwear was brought and puja was done to them. Chinnaswamy accepted the ochre robe as Bhagavan's prasadam after putting it to his eyes. Then, in a tone of humility and sternness, he said, "In Bhagavan's sannidhi, all respect, puja and prostrations should be made to Bhagavan alone. It is only under pressure of devotees I accepted this for once, but never again will I do that." At the end, Chinnaswamy gave gifts to all those who assisted in making this momentous event a grand success. Chinnaswamy took great care to ensure that Bhagavan was free as far as possible from any inconveniences. In earlier days, when Bhagavan left the dining hall, a devotee would be waiting so that he or she could take the meal off Bhagavan's leaf plate as a token of Bhagavan's special grace. When this came to Bhagavan's attention, though he had great difficulty in getting up after the meal due to arthritis in his knees, he started getting up with the leaf in his hand to throw it on the communal pile. Chinnaswamy eventually persuaded Bhagavan to leave his leaf on the condition that everyone also would do likewise, that his leaf would be thrown out along with all the other leaves, and that none would henceforth eat on his leaf. Since then to this day, all the used leaf plates are left behind to be collected and thrown out together. One devotee, Uma, wife of Somasundaram Pillai, named Chinnaswami, clothes beating stone or whipping board, because by Bhagavan's grace he put up cheerfully with all the complaints that people made about the management. Service to the ashram was Chinnaswami's life mission. He treated every devotee with respect and compassion. He fully understood Bhagavan's uniqueness, was true, utterly loyal in his devotion to him. He ran the ashram solely with the donations given by devotees. He never accepted donation unless they were given with complete faith and trust in Bhagavan. He had flaming integrity regarding ashram accounts. He laid the foundation for the eventual phenomenal growth of the ashram, and he was aware that it was due to Bhagavan's grace. He considered himself the elder brother of devotees as well as the servant of all. People felt free to come to the ashram and receive darshan to their heart's content. He never took any credit for the efficient management of the ashram, for he knew and said that it was due to Bhagavan's Shakti. He was a stickler for discipline and enforced it in the ashram. Even those who resented it admired his fierce sense of duty. Of course, Bhagavan himself was a perfect model in complying with the ashram discipline. Bhagavan never cared for his body, but Chinnaswami was concerned about Bhagavan's health and would try to restrict hours of admission to the old hall. However, Bhagavan would not countenance such a limit imposed on devotees' freedom to approach him. The years 1948-50 saw Chinnaswami in great physical and mental stress and anguish. There was a good deal of building activity and visitors were coming in ever-increasing waves, but funds were very inadequate. There was an active group of people opposed to him. What caused him the greatest distress was the fact that Bhagavan had developed a most excruciating form of cancer around his left elbow, and although all systems of therapies were tried through the best experts, Bhagavan's health deteriorated day after day. However, by Bhagavan's grace and inspired by Bhagavan's own example, Chinnaswami stood like a rock and faced all the problems with tremendous fortitude. On the 14th April of 1950, Bhagavan attained Mahanirvana. He was Chinnaswami's brother, father, mother, probe and guru and everything. Though Bhagavan remained as an abiding, effulgent presence and the light that he ever was, Chinnaswami sorely missed that benign physical presence. On 30th of September 1950, under the supervision of Chinnaswami, a management committee with 17 members was constituted. In 1952, Chinnaswami developed an intestinal disease and chest pain. He suffered from considerably physical agony. His sister, who was addressed by all devotees as Aptai, auntie, passed away on 3rd January 1953, from which he concluded that his end too was nearing. One day, he called close relatives and devotees to hear his last instructions. He said, "I am going away with stainless hands and a fulfilled heart. I never touched a paisa of the ashram for my personal possession. Everything here, every stick and stone belongs to Bhagavan. You have to treat them with devotion. You must give your heart and mind to Bhagavan. He will shower your heart with grace. Be truthful and honest. In doing your ashram duties, you must uphold the virtue of your lineage." This final injunction showed Swami Niranjanananda's great dispassion and attitude of complete surrender to Bhagavan. He lived true to the words of the saints. Except to him, to no other God, do I pay obeisance. This great Karma Yogi left his body on a full moon day, Thursday, the 29th January 1953 at 11:30 p.m. His earthly remains were interred in front of Mother's temple for which he had labored so hard and long. A lingam was consecrated at the site where pujas are performed daily. Blameless, spotless Chinnaswamy, who lived at the feet of great sage, is now in constant silence, having been absorbed in his guru. His life is a source of inspiration in the service of Bhagavan and his devotees. Final message. Everything here belongs to Bhagavan and should be guarded with care and vigilance as such. Devote yourself, heart and soul, to the service of the Lord, and return He will shower His grace on you. Be sincere and truthful to the core of your heart. Uphold our revered ancient tradition in the working of this ashram as I have upheld them all my life. Sri Niranjanananda Swami, 23 January 1953.